The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, your favorite show about the paranormal and other fun, freaky stuff. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Sean.
Hello.
How are you doing this week, Sean?
Pretty good. You know, just now when we heard on the news, you know, President Vladimir Putin has launched, you know, some program or another, you know, my brain stopped listening at launched. And immediately filled it in with, you know,
this
you know what
it.
I'm thinking,
this
right?
Is it. It's
right.
Over.
I'm hearing Vladimir Putin has launched, you know, 600 ICBMs, and we've got, you know, a half hour.
Every time I hear his name, I think of a meme that my buddy Joanna sent me that had a Ritz cracker with his face on it that said Putin on a Ritz. So, you know, we have different.
I feel like, about this you guy. Know, for a guy who's essentially a brutal dictator, there's tons of like funny. There's lots of just funny jokes and memes about him.
Totally.
To the point that he seems, like, friendly and approachable.
Yeah.
Even though, no.
Yeah, well, you know, movies have prepared us for this, you know. He
right.
He is basically a Bond villain.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and
I
so,
mean, he's
like,
not Stalin, though, so he's looking pretty good in
comparison. Yeah, but Stalin's not a Bond villain. Stalin's like a, you
Stalin's
know,
a villain.
Right. Stalin's like Hitler with more of a mustache, you know.
That's true.
Putin is like fully like, he needs like a...
He needs a
like
cat a, that he can stroke
right,
well.
And a gray Montel Williams suit with like no tie collar or something and, you know.
And a vast system of interstellar lasers.
Right, and sharks with freaking laser beams on their foreheads.
That is exactly right. And I'm certain that he has all of those things, because, you know, you have to go all the way.
Well, totally. I mean, if, you know, what are you going to do?
If I was him.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, if you're willing to starve your people in order to give yourself a bunch of money, you have to be willing to buy frivolous stuff. It's not like he's frugal.
Right.
Where he's just, oh, I don't want to spend that money that I took from all those dead children. You know, it's like, nah, he's willing to spend
oh
that
Oh, my
stuff.
God.
So a lot of these radio shows like us, they do this affiliate marketing where they, like, sell, like, beet juice and mattresses and stuff, right?
Uh-oh. Are we going there?
Yeah, I got one.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
Sean, this weekend, I lost 5 pounds.
Okay. To, like, a British guy in a bet?
No.
All right, keep going.
To the norovirus.
Is this an advertisement for the norovirus?
Yes. Basically, we could start packaging up this norovirus, and, like, it could be the new weekend cleanse. You could lose 5 pounds in a weekend, and all you have to do is excrete uncontrollably from most of your orifices.
Right.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrible.
It's absolutely terrible. So that's a, you know, that's a beta for the little catchphrase there.
No pain, no gain.
That's better.
Yeah. So as you can hear, my throat is like scratchy.
I hadn't noticed.
Well, thanks for noticing. But it's because I vomited so much. Mm. And so here's part of my problem. I've always had like a cast iron stomach.
Sure.
And like my body, I don't throw up. I just don't. You know, when I was a kid and, like, a big drinker, no, I don't throw up.
Okay.
I was sick, hated it. And so now when my body's sick and my body says, oh, you're throwing up, my body still fights it. And, like, it sounds like I am being murdered from, like, rooms away. My wife was just all like, are you okay? As I'm just all like, rah! You know, it's, like, just absolutely terrible sound. Terrible. And it leaves me with, like, a messed up throat and, like, my viscera feels like I've been beat with a lead pipe because of this internal fight of get it out, no, keep it in going on.
So this is just reminding me that we have got to do another show on pandemics at some point.
You know, it really does because, you know, any one of these things could really go out of control. You know, that's I was true. Thinking the whole time.
It's hard to get, like, dudes from the CDC to come on programs where we talk to people who do, like, poetry dictated by rocks psychically.
Right. Are you saying that this upsets our credibility with the CDC?
I mean, I'm saying it's a different kind of credibility.
Yeah, yeah, all right. I agree. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I was thinking that, you know, that pandemics, that stuff is really, really quite scary, you know.
Yeah, that and AI I really want to get into at some point because it's like, that's our future, you know, dying of, you know, nanoviruses and, you know, being oppressed by our cyborg overlords. That's the future.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
AIs, I would have never really sort of taken seriously as a threat until guys like Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk have come out and basically said that we need to take that serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're not there now. I think we might be in my lifetime, definitely.
Well, look at Ghost in the Shell. Ghost in the Shell was the premise that it already existed on the internet, and we just didn't even know it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So, I mean, we might all die from our robot overlords who have given us some sort of pandemic virus.
Yeah, either way, we've just got a couple months left. So.
I guess I should give some good words on pandemics, and that is that...
Norovirus. Buy it today.
Yeah, yeah. $5. Hook me up, man. I hooked you up. Yeah, think of all the people that I hooked up before I knew I was sick, man. They owe me some money.
through our innovative viral marketing campaign, yeah. We're sharing this virus before right. We even know we have it.
But life in general wants to survive.
That's true.
And viruses and bacteria are no different.
Right.
So killing their host is not a very effective virus or bacteria.
In fact, most viruses and bacteria don't even need Prozac to want to survive. So they've got a huge advantage there, evolutionarily speaking.
Yeah, where you're saying that most humans do need Prozac to want to survive.
I'm not saying most. I'm saying, you know, 50-50 maybe.
Yeah, the statistics are going up, aren't they?
But literally 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental disorder in their lifetime.
When I lived in...
That's the latest on that.
So we think of, like, religion as being, you know, better control, more happiness, and stuff like that. And in many cases it is. I'm not coming down on this. But I lived in Utah, and I'm also not targeting Mormons. It's just a highly religious community.
Sure.
And at the time, their state had the highest per capita teenage pregnancy and the highest per capita people on prescription pills. And at the time, they actually had commercials on TV warning people to be careful not to get a head injury.
A head injury?
Yeah.
Sorry, what does that have to do with either of the other things?
I think it has to do with, like, stumbling around on pills, you know? Well,
oh.
Getting a head injury.
Okay, I did not make that
chasing
connection.
Around your grandbabies on pills.
Well, I'm on a bunch of pills, but they aren't, like, painkillers. You know, they don't make me clumsy or affect cognition in any way.
Well, they were also, you know, there was a bit of a disparity there, too, because, like, their number one most wanted person in the state, I was watching on, like, the Utah's Most Wanted, and this guy had committed one assault and stolen a car. And he was the number one most wanted person in the state. And I'm just all like, holy smokes, you know. Coming from California, that's like...
Yeah, Utah has got it figured out in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know.
Can't come down on that. All right, this is Radio Wasteland. And when you come back, we have Larry Seekander talking about the Bob White artifact and UFO hard evidence. He's the founder of the Museum of Unexplained Aerial Anomalies. So come on back.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation. Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
We want you to count, we want you to hear, we want you to dance, dance all night long.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Larry C. Canders. We discuss the Bob White artifact, UFO hard evidence, and the founder of the Museum of Unexplained Aerial Anomalies. Larry, we're picking up our radio station in the background, if you could turn that off. That is
How's that?
Yeah, much better. Much better. How are you doing?
Doing fine here. I'm having trouble at my end here.
All right. Well, you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Sounds good. So, you know, this. Why don't we start off with the Museum of Unexplained Aerial Anomalies. How did you get started with that? And you were a partner with Bob White in that?
Right. Bob was a friend of mine. I met him back in the mid-90s down here when I moved down here from Illinois to Reed Springs. And I knew him a couple of years and had seen Sam Freeman on History Channel talking about Roswell. And I went in the next morning. We ate breakfast every morning, telling Bob about, boy, heck of a show I seen there, about UFOs, dead aliens, army cover-up, and he's sitting there shoveling food in his mouth like a payload at a gravel plant. He says, oh, hell, that's nothing. I got a piece of one of the house. You know, I was like, yeah, okay, Bob, you got a piece of UFO at your house. He said, yeah. He says, I keep it in my closet. I said, okay, well, I want to see this thing.
Right.
So I went over after breakfast, and he pulled this thing out of the closet. And the first time when I seen it, I've never seen anything like it. I've been around metal work all my life, but I know what you can and can't do with metal, and you can't layer aluminum. That was the first giveaway on it.
But I'm not very familiar with metal.
From then on, we got involved trying to get some help to figure out what it was.
So when you say you can't layer aluminum, what does that mean exactly?
This piece of metal is layered, it's feathered, and aluminum will not feather when it's in a molten condition and it hardens. It will always be rounded. This is layered.
I see.
And you can do it with steel, you can do it with iron, but you cannot do it in aluminum. No way, no how. And that's just fact.
And it couldn't have gotten that way, like, after it was cast. It's clearly,
you can't cast this. You couldn't cast that if you tried.
Interesting. That's.
So where did he say he found it?
It was recovered in Colorado, a mile from the Utah state line, over Route 6.
And so was there any reason why he was looking there, or did he just find it on?
They was on their way to Las Vegas. He's a musician and entertainer. Had been in movie and television for 50 years, and he was opening a club in Denver, Colorado, called the King Cole Club, and they weren't ready to open yet, so he got 3 days off, and they decided to go to Vegas, and he was out on Route 6, and they seen this light on the ground, and they kind of coasted up on it, and when they got close, he got out of the vehicle. The woman he was with was scared to death. She turned the headlights on and see that happen. This light took off, went into the sky, connected with two tubular neon lights stacked. There was a flash or an explosion. The light that he's seen come back to where it all started on the ground, and the two tube lights took off and disappeared to the east. And he saw where the thing hit. He went down and he seen the groove in the ground fall, and he found the object.
That's amazing. Was it light? Now, under those circumstances, I would expect an object like that would be, like, hot, like molten hot.
It was hot. It was still glowing. It was a dull red.
Interesting.
When he found it, he went back to the car. By the time he got back to where the object was, he picked up a cotton glove. He said he kicked it a couple times, and the little green guy jumped out of it. So he picked it up, put it in the trunk of the car. He had it. That was 1985.
Wow. Yeah, I can't think. That's quite a mystery.
Yeah, so he didn't. To him, it was just something crazy that he had. You guys didn't put much science into it until you came along.
Well, he had a seventh grade education.
I see.
You know, he'd been on his own since he was 13 years old. He didn't believe in UFOs. He didn't believe he went to the moon. You know, and UFOs was not on his radar screen at that time.
Sure.
And after he retired from music, he dug this thing out of the closet. He decided to see if he could find out what it was. And that's how we got started on this. And believe me, I'm sorry I ever got involved. Because it's been nothing but a headache from day one.
You get a lot of pushback?
It's not the pushback. You can't get any help. Mm-hmm. You got the only piece of evidence in the world that's got the scientific testing behind it. It shows it's off Earth formed. I have documented science that says this thing was not formed on this planet. It was formed off of Earth in a vacuum environment in outer space. And a process was used to make it.
So can,
and I have the test results that show that.
So can aluminum be layered or feathered in zero gravity? Is that kind of what we're saying here?
Yes, it could.
Interesting. Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that honestly, that seems pretty solid to me. I am so surprised hearing you say this, that this isn't like,
you know, this,
much bigger news, frankly.
Yeah, this is
this
a big part
like an
of
amazing
the,
find.
This is the big part of the UFO phenomenon that we're always missing, and that is concrete physical proof.
Sounds
well,
like it's been
thing,
here.
And they ignored us. The UFO community don't want nothing to do with us. Mainstream media is scared to death of us. Because we got hard evidence. We have physical evidence of an object that was formed in outer space. A process was used to make it. It was formed for a reason. And it was returned back. It started, the whole scenario starts on the ground, goes into outer space, and then comes back. to the same place it starts.
Why do you feel that the UFO community pushes against this?
Because most of the people in the UFO community are full of crap.
Yeah, well, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
No, I know I'm right.
Yeah, there's a lot of bucks to be had in there, and I think that there's a lot of people fall victim to them.
Well, you know, it's like I said, everybody, MUFON, that's a joke. They know about us. They've known about us for years. I've got a lot of friends that are researchers in MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network of people don't know what that stands for.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be the premier UFO research organization in the world. Yeah, right. You know, they got these TV shows on showing la-la stories. He said, she said, but no physical evidence, no proof. You know, I'm sitting here with 20 years worth of science. And ain't nothing I'm saying I can't prove with a piece of paper.
So,
from a scientist, a university, or a laboratory. Nothing.
So,
and I defy anybody to show me another one of these objects and make it.
So is there no other objects out there that people are claiming are real?
Well, there's people that sit there that will try to show carbide tips from blast furnaces. They will show grindings from underneath grinding wheels and machine shops, stuff like that. The only one problem with that, you cannot grind aluminum and make it melt. It's a soft metal. It will dust or powder every time. So that eliminates a machine shop right off the top. If you can't make it in a machine shop, you can't cast it because it's too fine a detail. There's no process on our planet that will make this object that I know about, especially in 1985 when this thing was recovered.
And you've been studying this since then.
I'm a metallurgist. Yeah. I've been in metal work all my life. I'm a hot rodder. Back in the 60s and 70s, you couldn't run down to the O'Reilly's and buy a part for an engine. You had to make it. You know, we made our own pistons. We did intake manifolds, and we were using aluminum. And I was in the outboard racing, and we built a lot of parts for outboards back in the day. And like I said, there's no way to feather aluminum. It had to be in a vacuum. It had to be extremely cold conditions to do this. It was ejected under extreme pressure into a vacuum environment.
So basically, when he presented this to you, you thought, okay, this looks like the real deal, and you just got caught up in it? Is that it?
No, I'll tell you. The first thing I thought was, how the heck was it made? How was this formed? And, you know, like I said, I've been working metals all my life, and I thought about lost foam casting, and I thought about plasma spray, possible a real fine cast ejection process of some sort with a silicone or something like that, but you can't get the detail in a casting that's in this object. It's impossible to do it. It's just that's the bottom line. It's impossible to cast this object. And if somebody could, somebody made one already. And for 20 years, I've been saying, all you got to do to make me go away is make me one.
Right.
And you know what? There ain't nobody made me one yet.
All right.
Show me how to do it. Make me one.
Larry, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. When we come back, I want to ask you some of the tests that you put this thing through that gives you the scientific backup. You're listening to Larry C. Kander here on Radio Wasteland, talking about the Bob White artifact. Come on back.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go, but they go too slow. She's a slime tonight. She's a
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Is your anniversary coming up? A friend's birthday? Worried about Mother's Day? We can help. We are Liberty Florists, your local master florist for all your special occasions, located at 810 Lake Boulevard. We deliver custom and unique designs all around the Reading and surrounding areas. Liberty Florists is completely family-owned and operated by a Christian conservative family. So please call us, Liberty Florists, for all your floral needs, 768-1544. Check us out online or stop by at 810 Lake Boulevard.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
The senseless random killing of 32-year-old Kate Steinle by an illegal alien convict is chilling testimony to how Gavin Newsom's sanctuary city values differ from the rest of us. I'm John Cox, father of four daughters and Republican candidate for governor. Incredibly, San Francisco refused to turn over to immigration authorities a criminal alien with seven prior felony convictions. Instead, they put him back on the streets, where he claims he just found a gun, fired at random, and killed a young woman walking with her dad. The shooter said it was an accident, so, of course, a San Francisco jury voted to acquit him. Like I said, different values. As governor, I promise you that on my first day in office, I will act to repeal Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom's sanctuary state and restore the rule of law. If you're ready to take California back, join me at johncoxforgovernor.com. I'm John Cox, Republican for Governor.
Paid for by John Cox for Governor 2018.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Good better gets right. You get me to work.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Larry C. Kander. Larry, before we get started with some of the science behind this, could you describe the artifact to us?
What is it, describe it?
Yeah, please.
It's about 9 inches long now, about 2.5 inches at its base where it's been cut. The bottom was cut off at Los Alamos. The top we cut off for tests for natural discovery science. It's layered or feathered, like a pine cone.
I see. Interesting.
Basically, the description would be about the simplest description, or pin feathers on a chicken leg or a turkey leg.
I see what you mean.
Something like that. And it's mostly aluminum. It has 33 elements identified it besides aluminum. and not one of the elements that comes from a grinding wheel. Like I said, people that see this, the first thing they say is, well, that came from a machine shop. If it came from a machine shop, they would have found residue from the machine shop in the artifact itself when they did the testing on it. And there's nothing from a machine shop been found in it.
So what kind of testing did you put this thing through?
Well, it's been scanned electron microscope. It's had Pixie tests done. It's had X-ray diffraction tests done.
Well, hang on a second. An electron microscope, what does that mean for us?
Well, and it breaks down the elements in the metal, the matrix.
I see. So that's why you know that there's aluminum and 30-some-odd other...
33 other elements besides the main element, which is aluminum. The elements in the object are gold, silver, arsenic, oxygen, aluminum, iron, silicone, calcium, barium, boron, cadmium, cobalt, copper, chlorine, chromium, europium, gadolinium, gallium, manganese, magnesium, zinc, molybdenum, nickel, sulfur, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, strontium, titanium, yttrium, radium, vanadium, zirconium.
So let me ask you this. So when we make something here on Earth, let's take everything else out of this equation. When we make something here on Earth, do we make it with that many materials in it?
No. Not a little silicone alloy, we know. The most we'd ever use would be maybe 15. A normal alloy, aluminum, silicone combination would have around 9 elements in it. One of the main elements in any aluminum silicone is 10. There's no 10 identified by white object.
So what are some of the other tests run on here?
X-ray diffraction tests were done at Los Alamos.
Yeah, what is the X-ray diffraction test?
Well, that breaks down more as far as elements in the object.
I see. So that was clarification.
And it gives you peaks as far as where the major elements are. Now, there were 3 X-ray diffraction tests done up to the 4th one, which was just done at CD in 2015. In 2009, we had an X-ray diffraction test done. We snuck in the door, back door at MSU at Springfield, Missouri State University, and a scientist by the name of David Lamb did X-ray diffraction test for us. Mm-hmm. And they had the latest machine that you could buy at the time in their lab. They set it up. He had no idea what he was testing. And about 3 months into the test, he noticed what they called an amorphous peak. Now, an amorphous peak is a polycrystalline structure that you never find in aluminum. We're barely using it, just getting to the point now that it's used in metalwork. Now, Los Alamos did an X-ray diffraction test back in the 90s. And so did National Discovery Science, also back in the 90s. And lo and behold, in their X-ray diffraction test, that same thing was located at the same position as David Lamb's test in MSU. And they failed to mention that in their reports. In other words, they covered that fact up.
And what would the purpose of this be? If I had to guess, I would say that it adds strength, like tensile strength to it or something?
Tensile strength, it's a polycrystalline like a glass. It would improve the durability of the aluminum. It has raised raised the melting temperature of the aluminum. It's a little bit higher than what a normal aluminum melts at. We don't know what this thing is. That's the bottom line. Well, I'll be the first one to tell you, I have absolutely no idea what this thing is, what it's used for, and who made it. Is it alien? I can't say that. Is it ours? I can't say that. But whoever made this made it outside of Earth's atmosphere in 1985.
Right. Using extremely advanced
materials. That was made in 1985 and recovered then, and it's got all this stuff that we're finding that we found the last 20 years. Who did it?
That's right.
Who made it? So how did they make it?
I guess an obvious question would be, have you gotten any government involvement? I mean, has there been anybody who contacted you or anything about this in the sense, or are they just trying to forget about it?
Well, we were in Los Alamos in 97, inside Los Alamos. Bob was. And that was one of the major tests, the first major test done. And that's where they cut the end off of it. Los Alamos stole the large piece of the object and kept it. I can prove that by the Polaroid pictures of the end of the object. When you go to match the piece that they cut off, I got part of the piece back, but the bottom doesn't match the big object. There's about an eighth of an inch missing.
So they just did these tests and said, see ya, this is ours now? What?
Is what now?
So they did these tests and said, okay, bye, this is ours now?
No. They snatched it. Bob got the main half of the main bottom piece back, and he had the main artifact with him. He carried in and took it back out. Now, I don't know what Los Alamos had in mind other than the fact they were very interested in the bottom of the object. The bottom of this object has exposed X-ray film in distinct patterns from the base of it. A normal X-ray doesn't do that. It will scatter. This is like a laser point on each side of the object. All this is up on my Pinterest website. Be Pinterest at Larry Roy C. or Larry Sikander. Either one. People want to look at the stuff that I've got.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
and it's got the main elements. It shows the X-ray diffraction tests. It shows the exposures. The elements identified in it, and the scientific papers are also up too. But I'm the first one to tell you, I got no idea what the thing is.
Well,
is it a fuel cell? Is it a location device that sends out a signal you can read with an EMF meter in two distinct frequencies?
Wait,
can't really? Briggs or Stratton do that before?
So. Okay, that seems like a fairly major piece of information. How does it do this? I mean, it's a piece of metal. What?
Yeah, it is.
It's not a machine. I mean, how does it send out a signal?
Combination of the elements.
Wow.
Everything on our planet, just about everything on our planet, puts out a signature of some sort, electrical, magnetic, frequency.
Right.
Your body, computer, your phone, now if you have certain combinations of metals will cause what's known as electrolysis.
Interesting.
Electrolysis is a current. And you can read that with an EMF meter. Normally, a perfect example of electrolysis is if you have a boat motor or a boat sitting in the salt water. The electrolysis in salt water will try to eat the iron. So they put a zinc anode on the hull, and it eats up the zinc instead of the hull of the boat or the lower unit on your engine. That's electrolysis.
I see. And so this is putting out two frequencies, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Two of them. One at around 14 megahertz. The other one we can't read because my machine won't go that high.
Huh. And I assume that's unusual for a piece of metal. It seems like pretty much everything else.
I've never seen a bridge to do that.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, Larry, this is totally interesting. We're coming up on our next commercial break. Please stick around for Larry Sikander. We're talking about the Bob White artifact here on Radio Wasteland.
You're ready.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
The world's largest dinosaurs are coming to Turtle Bay Exploration Park May 5th through September 9th. You can explore the amazing biology of supersized dinos in this epic new exhibition, great for all ages. The world's largest dinosaurs is organized by the American Museum of Natural History and presented by Dennis and Cheryl Bambauer, with major support from U.S. Bank and Shasta Regional Medical Center. The world's largest dinosaurs is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Larry C. Kander. Larry, my question that I've been saving towards the end of our interview, but I'm guessing that you're going to say, I don't know, is
okay.
What do we think this thing was for?
What do we think it is?
Yeah, has anybody given us any speculation on what we think it was used for?
Not really. I mean, I got a couple guesses, or I got a couple ideas. It might be a power cell of some sort that it was ejected, or it's a location device that sends out a signal.
Mm-hmm. What would make you think it was a power cell?
Do what?
What made you think it would be a power cell?
Well, it was ejected from something. Now, a catastrophic event took place that formed this object. The reason I know that is you smell this object, you smell sulfur in it. Mm. And the main ingredient in gunpowder is sulfur, or an explosives. And you can, after all these years, you can still smell the sulfur in this object. And that's my guess, that there was something catastrophic happened between the object on the ground and the object in the air.
Yeah, and
Bob
given
never
its location.
Saw a machine, that he saw a light.
Given its location, I guess it wouldn't be shocking if some sort of ground-based military maybe shot at it.
Maybe, but there would have been a rocket deal of some sort.
Yeah, I guess so.
He would have seen a telltale of some sort. Bob passed four polygraphs as to what he saw that night and what he's been told about that object. Now, I know out there somebody said, well, anybody can take a polygraph test. Try it. You know, and he took four of them, given by police officers over the years, and no hint of a lie was ever detected in anything that he did those tests.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like he had much reason to lie in any case. As you said, he wasn't really into UFOs. Yeah.
People think that there's money in this. Now, that's what I thought. Man, I had visions of me sitting on the beach in Tahiti after I heard this story. And
that's not where you're calling from?
Church walked by me drinking tequila sunriser.
That's not where you're calling from, Larry?
No, I'm sitting in the middle of the woods in an add-on trailer. Driving a 1997 GMC pickup truck with a couple of customized dents in it.
So you're close.
Not exactly hit the lottery, if you know what I'm saying.
I do, yeah. There isn't the money in this stuff that people would think that there would be, unless you're one of those people who really sort of take it to a level where you're fabricating answers when you're giving people answers.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. What we're saying and what we have said from day one is we want to know what it is. I still want to know what it is. I want to know how it was made. That's my main thing. I want to know what it was made for and how it was made. Those are my questions.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it definitely seemed that Los Alamos's interest and desire to keep a chunk of it leads me to believe that it wasn't made by the military.
Yeah.
No, I don't think the military made it at all.
Yeah.
I think personally my belief was that it's alien. But I can't say that. I can't prove that.
Right.
I can't think of nothing that we had flying in 1985 in outer space that had a machine shop in it.
Are there any other tests that you've been wanting to subject this thing to that might shed more answers?
Yeah, I want to do an isotope abundance ratio test on chromium, 53 and 54.
And what?
It's called wet chemistry, and what you have to do is you have to take a sample of the object and separate the chromium from all the other elements in the object and then do the test on the chromium. And that will tell you whether it is extraterrestrial or terrestrial. It's either you're pregnant or you ain't.
How will it tell us that? I mean, how would we know?
Because the isotopes of the chromium 53 and 54 are different in outer space or off Earth than they are on Earth. It's simple.
Huh.
I've already got extraterrestrial reading in the object already. We had strontium reading. We had a test done in Scripps in all around 2000, I think it was, somewhere. I've been at this so long that this all kind of runs together.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me find what he said here. And where'd it go?
That's all right, while you look for it. Do you think that clarification of it, well, it being made off planet doesn't necessarily mean it was made by alien, but
do
you think clarification that it was made off planet will get the UFO community to maybe take the object a little more seriously?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, they've known about us for quite a few years.
And so have none come to you and basically said, we want to learn more about this?
No. No, no, nobody has come to us. You know, everybody in the UFO community knows about us. I guarantee you that. You know, because we've been around that long now. And like I say, they ignore us like the plague.
Yeah, the only other possible alien artifact that I know of is somebody's rock. I forget whose name it is, but there's supposedly a rock that is manufactured, but we can't figure out how it was manufactured. And they've actually chunked a chip off of it. But it's really kind of amazing to me that there is so few chunks that either tells me that we've been visited very few times, that these things aren't going on, or that the government is very good about snatching these things up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Pete, I honestly don't understand why nobody hasn't come with some bucks to sit there and really try and look into this object. But like I said, nobody's volunteered any help. Everything we've done, we've had to scrape or scrap together. It's just, it really ticks me off, to be honest about it. Because I'm sitting here with something that belongs to the world and nobody wants to sit there and find out what it is. You know, and that's amazing to me. That's just absolutely amazing to me that you can have all this evidence and science behind this object, and nobody's interested.
So, when you say that all these tests have been done, do you have the paperwork proof that these tests have been done?
I do.
So,
if
somebody
else, you, I can't back up a piece of paper from a scientist.
So, if somebody did come in and said, "Hey, we want to look at this more. Let's see how far we've gotten." You could provide them with the information of how far you've gotten in the testing.
I did that to a MUFON scientist back in 2009. We were on the History Channel. I don't know if you're familiar with John Greenwald or not. But he's a good friend of mine. He owns the Black Vaults and he's a Freedom of Information Act connoisseur. He snatched more government documents out of the archives in Washington than about anybody out there.
Yeah,
and he snatched up a document that shows an object recovered in Denmark in 1947, prior to Roswell, that looks exactly like Bob White artifact.
Whoa, really?
I mean, exactly. To right down to the point. Whatever process was used in 1947 was used in 1985.
Wow.
I've connected this case with five cases now. There's a Benny Foggins case in Ohio, a Skyfall aluminum. Got 43 elements in his, a strontium reading off Earth. I have a strontium reading on Bob White object that's off Earth, matches Mars meteorites, falls between two known Mars meteorites. That was done at Scripps Institute in California, plus I had that down in San Diego.
Larry, I got to tell you, this is all really just quite amazing. Unfortunately, we're coming up on the interview here. I want to give you a chance to tell our audience a little bit where they can find out a little bit more and maybe see this artifact and find out more about you.
Okay. Facebook probably is the easiest. My old website, they finally took it down. They closed up. But you can find me, Larry Sikander, at Facebook, Museum of the Unexplained, Aerial Anomalies Research Group. Or UFORW is all at Facebook, and that's got all the information. It's got videos and other stuff up there to go with my Pinterest site that I already gave to y'all. Like I said, I'll be the first one to tell you. I got no idea what it is.
Yeah.
I got no idea how it was made, and nobody else does either.
Well, I'm looking forward to
it. And again, I defy anybody out there to think that they see the picture of this thing, say, "Oh, I can make that in my garage." Well, go on, go for it, buddy.
Yeah, we need to get that challenge out there.
Yeah.
Look anything like this.
We need to get some of our ufologist listeners to take a look at this thing.
Take that challenge. All right, you've been listening to Larry Sikander here on Radio Wasteland from talking about the Bob White artifact and UFO hard evidence and the Museum of Unexplained Aerial Anomalies. Don't forget to check him out online. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to borrow the broom. They want to borrow the mop. They want to know the time. So they borrow the clock. They want to borrow some lard and a piece of meat. They want to borrow some sugar to make the coffee sweet. They want to borrow $2 until payday. They want to borrow the liniment to rub the pain away. You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind. They can't knock on my door unless they want to borrow something all the time. They want to watch the fights and try to pick a winner. They bought my television, come back and get my antenna. They bought a lawnmower, they bought an electric fan. They bought a vacuum cleaner and a garbage can. They bought a knife, fork, spoon and plate. They bought a counter off the wall to keep up with the date. You know my next door neighbor about to make me lose my mind.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew.
Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.